What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
To What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, lecturer, women's health advocate, and the host of not one but two radio shows. The other one is on the same network every Sunday at 4 p.m. It's a call-in show called The Women's Healing Circle. So you have an opportunity to just get all the help you want, and that's why I'm here. And again, I'm so pleased you're with me today for another important, enlightening, transforming show that women must know. Let me just give a few announcements here. I am beginning in the middle of October another Ultimate Fat Loss and Resculpting program, which is my six-week tele-seminar program, and I'm really excited about that because that's just the most amazing way to transform your body. Many of you have heard me share this story, but I actually have lost 30 pounds of fat, not muscle, not the, you know, the fat that shapes your face, but the stuff that gets around the middle and the hips and the thighs and the fat pads, and gone down 4 dress sizes. So I'm a reborn homeopathic HCG person. And that's what this tele-seminar is going to be all about. It starts on the 14th, but on Tuesday, Tuesday the 28th, I'm doing a free preview call, and if you want to get more information or have the recorded version of that preview call, then just email me at drselman@whatwomenmustknow. And also, if you have not yet opted in to my website, What Women Must Know, please do so, because you'll be informed of all the latest and greatest things happening. And I do have some latest and greatest things happening. One of them is going to be a free 6-week tele-seminar program called Turning Back the Clock, and we're having an amazing list of inspiring people and well-known authors and practitioners who are going to be filling in the pieces for you of how to turn back your clock, how to renew, regenerate, rejuvenate your hormones, your health, and your life. So to find out more about that, you've got to opt in, because I'll be sending out an announcement very soon, and that's a free tele-seminar series. So all that means is go to whatwomenmustknow.com, and you'll be on the list. And in addition to that, you'll get many of my free reports, and also have access to my many articles that are freely available on my website, because this is what I really am all about, supporting people with truthful, empowering information to help you make informed decisions. And I just invite you all to take advantage of this opportunity. So having said all of that, here we are. We've just celebrated the fall equinox. We are officially into autumn, and what does that mean? What is happening? How is our body changing, reflecting these changes of the season? What do we need to know about it? How do we stay in harmony? How do we strengthen our body, get healthier, get more aligned, get more rejuvenated by being in alignment with these energies throughout the year, particularly now we are in autumn? How do we make the most of this turning of the wheel, the seasons which our body is reflecting? Well, those are really important questions, don't you think? I get excited about this kind of information. And to help us really step into a greater level of balance and harmony, which of course is all about how we truly can rejuvenate and regenerate our bodies, is one of my regular guests. He is a great inspiration to me and a great guide on my healing journey. I actually would call him one of my mentors, if I could be so bold. And that is my very special guest and friend, Angelo Druda. Hi, Angelo.
Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. And, you know, for people who have not had the experience of meeting you, I just want to let people know that Angelo has over 20 years of clinical experience with traditional Chinese medicine. He has authored a book called The Tao of Rejuvenation, and it's a book about the esoteric principles of bodily regeneration. Doesn't that just tempt you? And his website is tbmedicine.com. Do I sound too gushy, Angelo?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Don't stop.
Well, I do. I owe so much to you because you have played such a major role in helping me arrive at a place where I truly feel younger and healthier than I ever have in my life.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know you described yourself as, what'd you say, twice born in the intro there? Reborn?
Reborn.
No, it's excellent. Well, I have to say, the last time I saw you, you definitely did look reborn.
You know, it's true, Angelo, and I had a whole litany of health problems and everything from autoimmune diseases to fatigue and allergies, and not to bore everyone with those details, but I've had my challenges and they're all gone. And not only that, I just feel my skin is better and my mind is sharper and my energy is really strong and all those things that we use to evaluate how we are going in life. And I attribute so much of that, in all honesty, to what I've learned from you and to the herbal formulas that you have put me on, which, you know, people tell me, how long do I intend to be on them? And my answer is forever.
Yes, I understand that question and I understand that answer.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about today, and one of the things I want us to be sure to get to before our hour is over is the critical component of what people, and especially because this program is for women, but not exclusively, but what we need to know from a Chinese perspective, of what happens to our body as we go along in our aging journey, and what must we do to really support our body's ability to be healthy. Because one of my goals, and I say this a lot, is to get younger and healthier as I get older, and to die healthy. So I know you've got some amazing...
Oh, I love it when you talk that way.
I know you've got some really key pieces of this puzzle, so we have a lot to talk about.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's always fun. I always learn a lot. And I guess we are in autumn. Up until yesterday, where I live in beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were still experiencing summer. It was in the 90s. It was glorious, actually, because I knew it was, you know, time was limited. And then yesterday the weather changed. You know, it's in the 70s now, going down to the 50s, low 40s. So, you know, the seasons are changing. It's cooler in some parts of the country now. Although I just came from Phoenix, and I have to say it's in the hundreds there. They're waiting for the cool weather to come. What is the fall all about energetically? And maybe we can go back to even more basics and help people understand how we, our bodies, reflect the different energy cycles that happen seasonally.
Yes. Yeah, let's go back to the basics of this initially. Well, certain traditional cultures observed a seasonal cycle that was even more complex than the four seasons that we acknowledge here in the West. In the Chinese culture, they observed five, perhaps six seasons. The Aboriginals of Australia talk about six seasonal cycle. However many seasons you acknowledge, the point is that the human body, we are part of nature, and the seasons have a dramatic impact on our bodies and our health and the organs in our body. Everybody notices how lush and alive the earth becomes during the summer. And if you ask most people if they enjoy the summer, do they feel well in the summer? Most people do enjoy the summer. Many people feel their best in the summer. I know I certainly do. So in the summer, you see, we're getting a tremendous amount of support from nature, support that we are not getting bodily in winter. And the certain cultures and early practitioners of Chinese medicine observed these seasonal effects. What it comes down to fundamentally really is the angle of the sun. The sun is actually further away from the earth during the summertime, but because the angle allows for a direct penetration of that solar energy into the earth, the planet heats up, things begin to grow, it becomes lush and green, and we feel good, and most people feel really good during the summer, as I said, and the summer seems to go by so quickly. Well, the kind of bodily support we're getting in the summer, we begin to lose that, and it begins to change as summer wanes, as you're describing. We're now in autumn. There's actually a season that was observed prior to autumn, and that was called late summer. And particularly in Chinese medicine, and early practitioners of Chinese medicine, they actually develop cycles of rejuvenation that pertain to each particular season. So as we move out of this abundant support that we get during the summer, and in the summer we have the longest day of the year, and we get more light on the longest day of the year, and because we feed on light in addition to food and lunch and dinner, we feed on light. There's a lot of light to feed on in the summer, and that light can become so abundant and it can become so hot, we actually have to protect ourselves from it. You mentioned Phoenix. Phoenix, you can get more summer than you want in Phoenix during the summer months.
Right.
So in the summer, we have this abundant natural support of the body. The kidneys are being supported by the solar rays, the yang energy. The digestive system is being supported. The body is warm. And during that time, we tend to eat more cooling foods. Perhaps we eat more raw foods. We actually work towards cooling the body through the things that we do in the summer. But as summer changes into late summer and then into autumn, we need to begin to take on a different approach. And so in late summer, according to the Chinese teachings, late summer is a time that begins to pertain to the digestive system, the stomach and the spleen. You want to begin to start nurturing the digestive system as the high, young days of summer begin to fall into the deep yin days of winter. So around, what is it,
are
August?
Are we there now? I was going to ask you, yeah.
Well, it's hard to say exactly where these things begin and where they end, but people might begin to observe that the summer begins to quiet down around the end of August and September. We talk about the dog days of summer. It's kind of the end of summer, but it's beginning to quiet down, particularly, say, from that full moon in July, the longest day of the year, and that full moon where the energy is very active, very expansive. By the end of August, beginning of September, it still is warm, as you were describing. So it still has that sense of summer, but the angle, the rays of solar energy are beginning to change, and it begins to feel quieter during that period of time. So what early Chinese practitioners, Taoist practitioners, and modern practitioners now, and anyone who wants to begin to engage rejuvenating the body in harmony with the seasons, what somebody begins to do in late summer is relax a little bit more. It tends to be a little bit more quiet time, not as active, not as expansive. The creative energies are not as profound and as intense as they are, as I said, during the full moon stage of, say, July. It's a good time for retreat. It's a good time for a vacation. A lot of people do take their vacation at that time. And the organs of the body that should be addressed are the digestive organs, which are no longer now receiving this abundant support that they receive in summer. And because we're heading into winter, we begin to gently and gradually begin to tonify and strengthen the digestive system. And that can be done as simply as beginning to add more cooked foods into your diet, warming foods, vegetable foods that support a strong spleen and stomach. I'm thinking particularly of the yellow vegetables, the sweet potatoes, the yams, squashes, wild rice is a good spleen tonic. A little chicken and a little bit of fish are good spleen tonics. Some of those foods you want to begin to start incorporating into your diet to warm and strengthen the digestive system, which is no longer getting the warmth from the environment. So now we begin to put that warmth into the spleen and stomach through the food that we eat. Now, why do you address the spleen and stomach at this point? Because immune function is really peaking in the summer. You notice we hardly see any colds and flus during the summer months. But we see a lot of colds and flus during the winter months. Well, this immune function is very high during the summer relative to airborne pathogens and things of this nature. But as the seasons change, this viral and bacterial activity begins to become increased. There's more of a possibility of receiving some kind of an invasion through the lungs. And so we begin to gently strengthen our immune function in late summer by gently strengthening the spleen and stomach. So that's late summer. And then there are particular herbal formulas which are ideal to be used during this time of the year. For me, I basically am looking towards the cold and flu season. For example, over the course of the last three summer months, I did not write one prescription for a cold and flu, for bronchitis. The most of the prescriptions I wrote were for stomach issues because in the hot weather, sometimes we get an increased intake of bacteria because bacterial growth on the food can be much more active in the summer. So people tend to be complaining about cases of nausea, things like this. But I'm looking towards the season when the cold and flu season is really going to begin. So what we do, according to the cycle of the seasons is begin to start strengthening the immune system in the late summer in preparation for prime time cold and flu seasons in the late autumn and in the winter. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
Okay, so where would you say, I mean, if it's cold in the Northeast now, they're more into the fall and that energetic. If it's still hot in Phoenix, they're more in the late summer, would you say? So it depends what the climate is reflecting as to what energies are impacted, or it doesn't matter as the light wanes and as the, you know, the energy changes on the planet, is that affecting you?
Well, temperature is always affecting the body. There's no doubt about it. I live in Northern California, and we went from about a 100-degree day to a 60-degree day in 8 hours. It was a tremendous chill down, and suddenly the phone was ringing for backaches, and this is prime time for chiropractors. And
wow, that rapidly, the body.
It was such a rapid drop. And the body wasn't adapted to it.
Mm-hmm.
The immune system wasn't adapted to it. So temperature absolutely has an effect, but even an even more significant effect is the angle of the sun's rays, because sometimes in California we can actually get some very warm days in the winter, and yet you still see the colds and flus happening.
Right.
And that's being impacted primarily by the angle of the sun, which is not giving the yang support to the kidneys, it's not giving the yang support to the spleen and stomach, it's not giving the yang support to the lungs, and because the yang energy and the solar energy is waning, we also then get a much more dramatic proliferation of airborne pathogens, viruses and these kinds of things. So both temperature and the angle of the sun affect it, but even so, right now, whether you're in Phoenix and it's 100 degrees, or whether you're on the East Coast and it's 75 degrees, there are real changes happening in the seasons and the climate, and there are real changes happening in the body's organs right now, regardless
right.
of the temperature.
Right, right. Because why? I mean, because we're just so connected to nature's cycles and energies that happen at different
We're all like little plants in the earth. We may see ourselves as something superior to nature, but we're absolutely part and parcel of nature, just as a plant is. If you deny a plant sunlight, it's going to wither and die. Similarly with human beings, we are absolutely a part of nature. The cycling of the seasons is not separate from us, and our bodies are reflecting it.
You know, I think that's one of the most profound things I learned when I studied Chinese medicine. In our Western society, we just think business goes on as usual throughout the year. So what we eat, our energy, you know, the kinds of activities, the energy expenditure, just how we live our lives basically never changes. It's the same continuous pattern. And yet, when you understand the wisdom from the traditional Chinese approach, you realize that it actually alters throughout the year, and the more we are attuned to the different energies, we alter how we live, how we eat, how we think, and we work in a greater alignment and harmony. And as a result, we are in greater balance within ourselves. That was my experience, and it shapes my life and how I live to this very day.
Well, me too. I absolutely hear what you're saying, and I was so affected by the Taoist tradition, which has had a dramatic impact on Chinese medicine. But their whole teaching of harmonization, of harmonizing with the environment that you're in, harmonizing with the seasons that you're in, harmonizing with the stage of life that you're in, as one of the keys to health, wellness, and longevity. It's not a call to go to war with the body. As you know, some people are struggling to remain eternal teenagers and taking in synthetic hormones to try and preserve a particular stage of life. The Taoists, they harmonized with each stage of life, and they found great abundance in that process of harmonization. And that's really all we're talking about relative to the seasons. There is, as you're saying, there is this peculiar point of view that kind of comes out of the modern West. I guess we can blame the modern West for that, that we're somehow separate from nature. And well, the ancient Taoists, no. I mean, we are just another part of nature, like the trees, like the clouds, like the animals. And we're absolutely dependent on nature for our survival, which is why there are so many complaints nowadays about the kind of environmental destruction that's taking place. This is where the human species lives and thrives. And so the seasons, by harmonizing with the seasons, practitioners can and people who practice this kind of seasonal rejuvenation can actually tap in to a source of regenerative energy, which is quite strong, and really prevent themselves from a lot of trouble down the line. I love the description of the immune function that comes out of Chinese medicine. They talk about the Wei Qi, Wei, W-E-I, and the Qi, Q-I. The Qi is the life energy in the body. Well, the Wei Qi is the immune energy, and it circulates on the surface of the skin like a shield. And you want to keep that Wei Qi energy strong, and you want to keep it circulating freely. And that Wei Qi energy, when it is strong, then it keeps out the trouble. It keeps disease out. It keeps the body strong. Well, in the summer, that Wei Qi gets such wonderful support from the summer seasons and the sun. In the winter, it doesn't get that kind of support. But if we learn how to build that Wei Qi immune energy, if we learn how to cultivate it, how to strengthen it, and if we begin to start working with this principle in late summer, strengthen the digestive system. What is the source of that Wei Qi energy? The digestive system. Start nurturing it. And then as we move into autumn, the lungs become our focus. And the lung energy is dependent on the energy of the digestive system. If the energy of the digestive system gets weak, then our lungs get weak. So we move out of summer, we strengthen the digestive energy that maintains our platform, our foundation for immunity. As we move into late autumn, we cultivate the lung energy. And then as we move into winter, you see our immune system will be strong, and it will be capable of fending and fighting off the kinds of invasions that inevitably are going to take place during the winter.
Okay, so why don't we have some, really good practical suggestions of how we do that. Where would you like to begin? I know there are certain foods that you really want to focus on, or certain ways of eating foods, how to cook, how to prepare, less raw, more cooked, and that kind of thing. So give us some practical suggestions if people just want to make some alterations in their diet as we go into, we're probably still either in late summer, that late summer season,
right,
or that early fall, where do we go? Tell us what we can start doing and eating.
Well, relative to diet, yes. I mean, you're simply going to start transitioning over from the very cooling foods over to more warming foods. For example, in the summer, you can eat an abundance of watermelon. The temperature is hot. The body is slightly dehydrated. The watermelon just, every bite of watermelon seems to refresh you and delight us. I know at a certain temperature, I won't touch watermelon. It's just too cooling, and then it begins to cool the body down further. So
I want to just say that's what you just said is really interesting. And if people really start paying attention to their body and what it wants, I know that when the weather is cold, I don't really have any desire for things like watermelon or even a lot of raw salads. That doesn't seem to really satisfy the requirements of my body. And I may not know why, but you just notice what you're inclined to eat or what you're drawn to, at that stage of the seasonal changes. It's really interesting because suddenly my interest will veer from a lot of peaches and go more into apples or pears, not just because they're around, because they just feel like the kind of thing I want to eat.
Exactly. I mean, when we had this 40-degree temperature drop several weeks ago, I literally went from salads and smoothies and watermelon. Within a few hours, I looked at those things and I could not even consider eating them. I was looking for the rice, the stir fries,
Yeah.
And by the time winter arrives, I want my big hot congee pot,
Because those foods tend to warm the body and the salads tend to have a cooling effect on the body, right?
Exactly. The raw foods are very cooling. And purifying. The virtue of raw foods is they purify the blood, they cool the body down. And most people will naturally eat more raw foods in the summer when it's warm. But one of the traditional ways of warming the yang fire of the body, one of the ways it was done was you put the fire into food and then you eat that food and it's warm. And you are now putting fire into the body. So you're actually tonifying the body's life fire by putting the fire in the food and then putting the food in the body. And so, yes, so one of the things that just happens quite naturally is go with that instincto movement. The body is pretty much knows what it wants. The body wants balance. And if you're actually sensitive to it, then yes, just that natural impulse. I don't want to eat the watermelon now; it's too cold. I'd rather eat the brown rice stir fry. It'll warm me up. Those are important information, and the body is just telling you what to do next in order to keep it in balance. So that's absolutely right.
And that's part of the theory of eating foods that are in season in your area, because what's in season in your area will support the energetics of the body at that time of the year.
Exactly. So one of that whole traditional food group that nourishes the spleen and stomach is those yellow pumpkin squash, all those things that we associate with autumn. Pumpkin squash, sweet potato, yams, pumpkin pie. So many of those items that we see showing up on our traditional Thanksgiving platter, those autumn foods, that's right, those are the foods that tonify the spleen and stomach. They show up in the autumn when the best time to tonify the spleen and stomach. That's exactly right. So, yes, just changing over from a raw to more cooked food is an excellent thing to do. It doesn't really have to be much more complicated than that. But as you know, I love to work with herbs. I think the herbs are the esoteric aspects of our dietary practice. Through using the right herbs, we can bring in the energies and the essences from nature that we're not typically getting from the foods that we eat. So I like to bring in these herbs and change over to different kinds of herbal formulas that I will be using at different times of the year. So in the late summer, I do begin to start actively using herbs that strengthen the spleen, the stomach, the pancreas, the digestive system overall. And several weeks ago, I just quite naturally found myself making that formula for myself. I didn't even think about it. I just started to do it at a certain point when the sun had reached a certain angle. I automatically did it for myself. And then I begin to notice what my clients are requesting and the kinds of complaints that they're beginning to communicate to me. And I begin to notice a lot of my clients just quite naturally started to call for more support of the spleen and stomach. So there are so many wonderful qi tonics for the spleen and stomach in Chinese medicine. And it's a good time of the year to switch over and start giving those organs specific and much more focused and concentrated support through the herbal medicine.
Angelo, can we just take a break here? We need to actually take a break. And when we get back, we can talk about some of your simple recipes that you may want to recommend. And then we can talk more about how to use the herbal formulas to help rejuvenate us for anyone over the age of 50 and how we really need to support that. So how does that sound?
Okay. That sounds great.
Okay, so we're going to be taking a little break. Everyone, please hang in there. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to my special guest, Angelo Drudo, on What Women Must Know.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
Hello, I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Please join us as we connect people, ideas, important information, and discover solutions to some of the most urgent problems facing us. Every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m., Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world, every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Freedom News Hour will bring you up to date on the latest news on the financial meltdown.
Begin restoring local communities. It can happen.
We'll be exploring the issues from a freedom-oriented, small government perspective.
I'm Walt Thiessen.
I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
I am Jake Town.
Join us live Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
You are listening to Progressive Radio Network.
And we are back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And my guest today is Angelo Drudo, author of The Tao Rejuvenation. We're looking at the seasons of the year, how to regain our own inner balance as we balance ourselves with the seasons. And we're moving into fall and autumn, and there are certain changes that happen within us and how we need to adjust our eating and our energy levels and the nutrition that we take in to support us. So, Angelo, let's talk a little bit more about autumn and also the kinds of specific foods or dishes or some of your favorite foods to be eating at the autumn time. When does actually autumn change into winter? How do we define that cycle?
Well, the winter solstice would be December 20, 21st, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's the actual acknowledged moment in the solar cycle. And then suddenly, the light disappears and we move into, it's the shortest day of the year. And it's a whole other circumstance than the one that was happening during the summer.
So really, we're in the autumn cycle, late summer. We're kind of finishing coming out of late summer, Indian summer cycle into
exactly.
autumn up until December, beginning of December-ish.
That's right. And we've received all of this nurturing energy from the summer. And now is a time to consolidate that energy, bank that energy. So that's the time of the year that we're in, late summer to the beginning of autumn. And in some places it's still quite warm here, but you can definitely get a cool day now, and it'll be getting cooler and cooler and cooler, yeah.
And there's certain organ systems that are activated in the when we're actually in autumn that are critical to support that time of the year, and when they're not supported, when we see more of these issues and problems. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we talked about this immune energy that circulates on the surface of the body. And in the summer, we don't have to worry about it too much because it's all being taken care of by nature. So what we do in late summer, you see, is we begin to move to foods that strengthen the spleen and stomach more, which is the place where the energy, that immune energy, is actually being hatched and metabolized and generated in the body. And that's the work that we do in late summer. And then in autumn, we do the work of strengthening the lungs. And the lungs do the work of circulating the immune energy on the outside of the body. So as we go from this free summertime, a free nurturing period of time, and we move into late summer, we start to pick up a little bit of the work that nature was doing for us. We start to strengthen the spleen and stomach a little bit more, and that maintains our immune energy. That maintains the Wei Qi energy on the surface of the body. And then as it gets a little bit cooler and we move into autumn, we strengthen the lungs, and that keeps the lungs strong. So we have done two things. We've preserved the organs that are manufacturing this immune energy, and we're preserving the organ that is circulating that immune energy on the surface of the body. And so as we enter into winter, our body, our immune system is ready, it is adapted, it is prepared, and we can enjoy the winter without being troubled by too many of those kinds of winter pathologies that inevitably show up.
And, you know, that's such a critical point you just made, and that's why I want people to really understand this and take it to heart. If you understand this progression of what energies are prominent various times and the purpose for them, so you said it so beautifully, the summer and the sun, you know, is really a high energy, high immune supportive time. But as the sun wanes, we have to go into action to help take this energy, cultivate it, you know, build it, make sure plenty of immune support is there in the times of the year when we are more susceptible to the stress of the cold and things. So if we do that, if we really understand the needs of the body, then when winter comes, we can enjoy the winter, but we won't have to be vulnerable to the colds and the flus and all those things that we see, because the body's immune system is compromised and weak, and we haven't properly taken care of ourselves to have this reserve of immune strength at a time when it diminishes in the environment.
Exactly. That's it. That's the whole logic of the thing. And there is no doubt, because I practice this myself, but I also have seen this with just so many of my clients over the years, that if you just integrate some of these right things into the regime, then your winter, it will be a whole lot different than if you don't. And that's exactly the logic of why we do those things. And then In the winter, which pertains to the kidneys, And then in the winter, we spend our time protecting the kidneys, warming the kidneys. We're going to put hats on. We're going to put coats on. We're protecting the internal organs of the body from the cold, from the extreme yin of winter. As human beings, we know how to do that. We do not have the ability to actually hibernate. We don't have fur coats on us. So we put the fur coats on ourselves. We're, as humans, we're able to do that. Well, as humans, we're also able to go into nature, take the right herbs and substances that we need at particular times of the year, make our little concoctions, take them, and facilitate and serve our adaptation that way.
And maybe this is a good segue into understanding, if we kind of take this concept of how this, the seasons change, we support different systems in our body as we go through the yearly change of seasons. But it also is a bigger cycle, that we actually have seasons of our life, and we need to do the same things that we're talking about on a yearly cycle to a lifelong cycle of understanding how to support and enhance and strengthen the energies that are occurring at that stage of our life, which is why I always like us to talk about what is happening when you're, you know, over 50 or so and moving into a time when the energies start to wane and diminish, but can be intervened if you use the right dietary approach, herbal support, and maybe you can talk a little about that, because that's so critical.
Oh, that was a beautiful segue, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly. We have cycles and seasons to our life overall, and I know what you're talking about. And yes, the kidneys. In Chinese medicine, is our basal metabolic process. It's the very life fire itself. And so when Chinese doctors are talking about the kidneys, they're talking about serving and protecting that very basal metabolic process. And some of that process we inherit from our ancestors. And this is why we have observed that genetics really have an impact on how long people live and how healthy they are. So some of it is affected by our genetic inheritance, and some of it is affected by our lifestyle. And again, learning to harmonize with the stage of life and doing the right things can facilitate and nourish the regenerative process in the human body. So as you know, and I know you mentioned you wanted to talk about this, yes, the preservation of the kidneys post age 50 is really something that people really do need to find out about. It's a concept that certainly is well developed in Chinese medicine, but it's not that well understood outside of Chinese medicine. Is understanding the nature of the kidneys and learning how to protect the kidneys. The Chinese law of aging is enunciated as follows. They say the yang consumes the yin. So in other words, the yang, the fire of life activity, action, energy, that activity of life consumes the yin. It burns up the living fluids, the living water in the body. In order to have human life, we need to have fire, life energy, and we need to have all the living fluids and water. You need both in order to have human life. Well, as we live life and we're active, we burn up those fluids. We burn up the deep yin essences of the body, which is why when women begin to enter into menopause, what is the most common complaint? Hot flushes. They're overheating. They're heating up. The coolant in the body is getting low. And I know we talk about this many times. We've talked about it before on your show. We have become prophets of this message, which is protect the yin levels in the body. If people just understood that they have to protect those yin levels, and beyond the age of 50, you have to really do it. You can get away with it prior to 50 because you're young, and excess hormonal flows are very forgiving. But beyond 50, we have to protect and maintain the deeper yin essence in the body. And if people just learned to do that, they would prevent so much degenerative disease. And I know you keep seeing this in your clinical practice. I keep seeing it in my clinical practice, that people have allowed the yin levels in the kidney to get too low, and then the body begins to really start to break down, and some real imbalances begin to show up. So there is fire in the kidneys that needs to be preserved and nurtured, and there is water in the kidneys that needs to be preserved and nurtured. And Chinese practitioners are trained how to observe and measure those deficiencies. And then we can draw from nature the substances, again, the natural herbal substances, which are very similar to the natural substances in the human body because we are part of nature, as we have been discussing. Chinese practitioners went out into nature. They found these molecularly similar ingredients, and they put them back in their bodies. They developed a tonification approach. And time and time and time again, I see this. People who have come in with some severe conditions, and I check them out, and I notice that they allowed the deep yin levels of the body to get too low, and then at some point the body breaks, and you begin to start getting some serious conditions. That's what you wanted to talk about, right?
Yes, you know, and because I think this is really critical. You know, I have so many of my patients on herbal formulas that you create them, but we create them specifically for the needs of that patient. So we can actually design the appropriate formula, which is why I really like doing this. You know, in addressing the needs of women over 50, we always have to look at the kidneys, or i.e. the adrenals. But of course, there's another component that doesn't really get addressed in naturopathic approaches, and that's what you've mentioned, the yin aspect, that the energies that help to nourish, to lubricate, to you know, create the moisture in the body, and that begins to wane. That's the yin. And while people address the adrenal yang component of the needs of the body in that stage of our life, but very few systems actually address the yin. So women tend to, their skin gets drier, their eyes get drier, their vaginal tissues get dry, and what you have created is a formula that incorporates how to support both the yin and the yang, and that to me is such a critical piece of rejuvenating women that isn't readily available in most other systems or in other formulas.
Yes, exactly. You will, the practitioner will observe the adrenal or kidney deficiency, but they won't observe it completely. And so I tend to talk more about yin deficiency because so many times the client will come into the clinic and they'll have their DHEA that was prescribed to them because the test showed adrenal deficiency, and they're feeling the energy from that, but I'll check them out, and I'll see that the yin levels are very, very low, and they were not given a component to tonify the yin levels. And then they switch over to something which is warming the kidney fire, like DHEA, and they're only plundering and drying up the yin even more. Chinese practitioners are taught, yes, you can tonify the fire of the kidneys, but you also at the same time have to protect the water of the kidneys. All kidney formulas that come out of Chinese medicine are complex and very balanced, and they need to be balanced for each particular person. And so, yes, there are formulas. I didn't invent these formulas. They were discovered and created by ancient Chinese doctors. I've added my own particular little versions to it. That people, it's as simple as just taking the right herbal substance. It's as simple as like eating the right food. You eat these yin tonic formulas. You take a couple of teaspoons a day, and people can protect the yin levels of the kidneys. That keeps the blood production up in the body. It helps preserve blood circulation. And it protects the body from very degenerative conditions. I mean, just the other day I had someone contact me who had extreme debility. Their hair had fallen out. They could no longer walk. When the medical people checked her all out, what it fundamentally came down to was her yin levels had just been broken by her life, her genetics, her lifestyle. And so how did it show up on our tests? Well, it showed up as B12, folic acid deficiencies. But when the Chinese practitioners checked her, the yin levels were just too low. So it can be as simple as just taking the right herbal formula, as you're describing.
Yes, and this is where when I said earlier that I plan to be on these formulas for the rest of my life, because these are formulas I am personally taking because of, what you have taught me. And I see them as just critical to supporting my health and well-being and rebuilding these essences that if we don't have some way to particularly address them and nourish them, the natural tendency is to decline.
Exactly. Anyone that has a problem with what you're saying, I mean, you're going to be on good food for the rest of your life. People should be on fruits and vegetables for the rest of their life. They don't just do fruits and vegetables for a week and then stop. We're going to be on good foods for the rest of our life. We have learned that that will preserve our life. Well, these herbal formulas are good foods, and at a certain stage of life, not at 20, but at 50 and beyond, you want to be on these compounds. You want to be on these formulas for the rest of your life, and they have the same function as good foods. Only, you see, these kinds of energies and essences, we don't typically eat foods like that, so we take them in the form of herbal medicine instead.
Right, and I'm very grateful for you because I do feel so much better when I'm on them, and I find they're so easy to take. You know, tinctures are great because they're liquid. So I see everybody with compromised digestion, and that's why it's hard to get foods properly digested, assimilated, and even with supplements can be difficult if your digestion is weak. And unfortunately, most people have weak digestions, whether they know it or not. And which is another aspect of the aging process that just gets weaker. So
exactly.
The tinctures are fun. Angela, before we go, why don't you just give your website address so if people have questions or they want to have a consultation with you. You also have some kind of generic products that you've created. Generic is the right word, but you have specific products that people can just order directly or they can have a consultation, I believe, as well. Let people know how to get hold of you.
Okay, the website is tbmedicine.com. That's T for traditional, B for botanical, medicine.com. The book is The Tao of Rejuvenation. That's T-A-O, and that's on Amazon.com. And then there are a couple of formulas. The Wei Qi formula is the perfect formula for the season. That's on the website. And people are free to give us a call. The phone number is on the website, tbmedicine.com.
Well, as always, this has been such an enlightening conversation, and I really appreciate the great work you're doing, and I'm really very grateful to you, Angelo. You're helping to keep me young and healthy and, accomplishing my goal of growing younger as I get older.
Thank you so much, Dr. Selman.
And to all my listeners, thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. My special guest is Angelo Druda. And until next time, always remember to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye till then.